every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHACMAFAIR. We don't speak for any of them. They're guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to discover. Oh, before I introduce us, don't forget Recovery Idol. If you can sing or you play an instrument, record us a jingle. It's got to say Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio or Recovery 101 Radio Rule 62 in it somewhere. And it's also got to have, well, it doesn't have to have the host names, but if it does, we're just that narcissistic, so it'll be okay. Welcome. Oh, and send that to recovery101radio@gmail.com in MP3 format. Shelly's looking at me.
Recovery 101 Radio. Is that what you said?
Recovery 101 Radio, okay. Right. At gmail.com.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Welcome. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And special guest host,
Marty.
Sweet. Mark is off at a 7-course dinner and is not going to be here. So we've got 3 people that are sensitive to newcomers.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Shelly, awesome.
You sensitive to newcomers, Shelly?
Yep.
Yep. So, how was your day today, Marty?
It was a great day. It was a relaxing day.
Awesome day.
I did very little. I stayed in my pajamas all day.
That's
I baked
awesome.
Cookies.
He baked peanut butter cookies that I'm enjoying right now. They're quite tasty. So any of you guys that are listening to the show and you're stoned, eat your heart out. Eat your heart out? Eat your hearts out. So, Shelly, how was your day?
Pretty good.
Did church?
Did the churchy thing.
How was church?
It was good. Well, actually, maybe not. I automatically, it's a knee-jerk reaction because church is always good no matter what. But it was a little disjointed today because they printed the bulletin wrong. And the communion set that we were supposed to do in the bulletin was not the one that we usually do. So everybody's looking around like, what is the pastor doing? What's going on? It was very disjointed. We just kind of went with it, but...
You mean what you sing?
Yeah, well, what we sing, what the congregation sings... You can see the congregation like looking at their bulletins and then looking up and then looking at their bulletins and going, what are we supposed to be doing now? Nobody had a clue.
No.
So it was kind of a disjointed service, but it was good because it was church.
Church was good for me. I slept right through it.
Yes, I know. You sleep through it every Sunday.
No disrespect to the church. I don't sleep through it in church. I sleep through it in my bed at home.
Yes. And then we went to lunch and then I put up the Scotsman, so I'm happy.
Sweet. Took my mom out to lunch. It was all good.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
How was your day?
I just said that, actually.
That's true. You slept through church.
I slept through church, and then I went to lunch with you and went down to coffee for a minute and came here. Now I'm eating peanut butter cookies.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it really doesn't. You know what that means?
Uh-oh.
Better get ready for this, Marty.
I'm ready.
That means that it's time... for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Marty's pretty good.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Mark's going to get replaced.
Uh-oh.
I learned it from the best.
Oh.
Oh, me?
You.
Yeah, actually, probably Shelly.
Okay. Tight. We have shout-outs to Brian. Donald.
Brian.
Yeah, I know. Who's Brian? Brian's the guy that's going to paint our living room, or paint our spare room.
Okay.
Yes, Brian is coming to visit.
Yes.
Very excited. We're going to kidnap him and make him, like, do chores around the house.
So if anyone else was thinking about coming to the world-famous Laguna Beach studio in Covina, you know, that would be the time to come. Who knows? Maybe Bill P. might come down. You never know.
Fran actually is going to maybe try.
Really?
Yeah, she said maybe, but we don't know.
Well, you know, it's not as easy for her to get away,
no,
I would
it's
think.
Not. She's all the way across the country, but it's in May.
You need a friend from Australia to show up.
Yes, we do need if we need an Aussie.
And we could frolic in the ocean.
Yes.
We could be a frolicker.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we talked about frolickers.
Yeah, that's in the city of brotherly love.
That's true. Okay, so anyway, we've got Brian, Donald, Bill. I'm not sure if Fran sent me anything this week or
Donald
not.
Plays a game I play on Facebook, I found out. But I don't know if he still plays it. When I just started playing War Commander. So, Donald, if you play, send me some goodies.
All right. First story. We are in Rio de Janeiro.
De Janeiro.
Yes. Prison guards detained a cat trying to break into the prison.
A cat.
I saw that.
They arrested a cat.
They detained a cat. Cat.
Yes, a cute little white kitty. I saw a picture of the cat. They were quite surprised when the cat made a determined effort to get into the jail yard. Then they discovered that the cat was carrying a saw and a mobile phone.
Really?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
That's not all.
A trained cat?
Yes, I saw a picture of the cat. Its body was wrapped, there was a package wrapped around its body with, like, tape. You know, they wrapped a plastic bag with a bunch of stuff in it around the cat and then duct taped the plastic bag.
Who was the cat going to call?
I don't know. The cat took care. I saw, like, all the stuff that it was carrying laid out. This was, like, a hugely packed cat.
They should have took the saw out, taped the cat back up, and let the cat go and see if the cat went to someone's cell.
The cat was carrying a total of a saw, a mobile phone, a small drill, an earphone, a memory card, batteries, and a phone charger.
Gotta have a phone charger.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I'm quoting the prison spokesperson who said, "It's tough to find out who's responsible for this because the cat doesn't speak."
That makes sense.
They should have took most of the stuff out, put dummy stuff on, let the cat go in there, and then see who ends up with the cat.
That's true. That would have been smart. But
it would have been.
That would have worked.
Crap.
In Berrien County, Michigan.
Okay.
Now, the ACLU has filed a lawsuit, of course, because they claim that this woman's freedom of speech has been abridged.
Do they do anything, those guys, besides file lawsuits?
No, I think that's their job.
I mean, that's the only thing I've ever heard. When they talk about ACLU, it's not like it's always a lawsuit of some kind.
That's kind of their job, to file lawsuits to help maintain people's rights. That's what they claim their job is. Anyway, okay. I don't know.
That's what they do.
Anyway, she spent 11 days in jail. A circuit court judge ordered her bond revoked. She had gotten a ticket, a speeding ticket.
That's and a it, long time in jail for
and a speeding
hadn't
ticket. Done anything about it, forgot about it, whatever. Ended up getting a warrant.
Bench warrant, yeah.
Because she didn't take care of this ticket. And the fine was actually only $50.
Nine days.
So she goes in to pay her fine.
Well, the fine on the bench warrant, though, is not $50.
Right. The ticket was 50, but the
bench warrant's like
$500 was what her total fine would have been. And she went into the court to take care of it because, you know, she didn't want to have a warrant out for her arrest. She couldn't take care of it at that time. Sat there all day, was upset. She was leaving the court. As she was leaving the court, she claimed she was muttering under her breath to herself and that she had cursed. And the circuit court judge, who had been walking out of chambers, heard her, revoked her bond, remanded her into custody, and stuck her in jail for 11 days for cussing.
Contempt of court.
No, she wasn't in court. She was leaving the courthouse. She wasn't even in the courtroom at the time it happened.
Seems a little over the top.
Yep. It does. And interestingly enough, the judge who will hear the case on her cussing will not be that circuit court judge because that day that he did that to her was his last day on the bench. He retired.
Quentin Tarantino is in big trouble for Django. This guy's gonna have him arrested.
Already?
Have you seen it or
not
heard it?
Not yet. I'm about
Apparently, they say the N-word more times than Cat Williams does it in a like 2-hour comedy show, and that's like all he ever says.
Okay, we are now going to Moscow.
Comrade.
In 2013, many Russians will be asking, where do I get a beer? Because until 2013, beer was considered in Russia to be food, not a controlled beverage or anything like that. It was actually a food. They would sell it at kiosks, those little food kiosks like they have in New York. They're very popular in Russia. So they're all over the place.
Why didn't we have that here?
It makes me hungry.
Why didn't they have that here when we were drinking kiosks selling beer everywhere?
The law changes beer's classification in Russia from a food to an alcoholic beverage, and it can't be sold in any store from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. And any place that it is sold in has to be larger than 500 square feet.
Now,
I don't understand that.
What I find strange about that is beer's been an alcohol since the Egyptians made it. The Russians are just getting here with that now.
Well, they're
like,
Russians.
Hey, it's not a food anymore. So is vodka food because it's made from potatoes?
It doesn't say in the story.
Okay, I'm just checking. Because I could have me some French fries. Okay.
Marty has nothing to
you
say
can just
about
jump
that.
In
too many
time.
Rules. Too many rules.
Yeah.
Too many rules. I agree.
That's not right.
In Davenport, Iowa.
Sweet.
Dale Sammy Bloomer.
Three names.
Yep.
Drug
deal. Dope fiend story.
Yep.
Isn't that weird? It's like really like 90% of the time.
He was arrested for the possibility of manufacturing methamphetamine in a daycare.
Oh, man.
Just a possibility.
Yeah. Well,
his girlfriend
at her home runs a daycare out of her residence.
Oh.
Now, the story that I got, I actually read another version of this story somewhere else, but this particular one that I'm reading is, I think Bill sent it, or maybe Brian, or maybe Bill.
Is
I don't remember.
Is it a study?
At any rate, his girlfriend at her home runs a daycare. That's what she does for a living.
Not
She's
anymore.
A daycare worker. No, she may be in the clear because, according to both of them, both he who got arrested and she was blindsided.
What I'd say if I was her too.
She had no idea.
Part of the home is his domain, I guess. And
man cave,
and that was where he had these. Now he didn't have a meth lab operating at the time. He got ratted out by somebody, but when the cops showed up with a search warrant,
there was stuff.
There was all of the components in that particular room.
Did they show pictures of these people?
No.
My guess is she looks like a Skecher, just like him.
Skinny.
Yeah.
Tweakers.
I don't know. But she was not arrested. He was arrested.
She's like all of 85 pounds. I had no idea he had a meth lab.
Yeah.
No teeth.
Well, she was not arrested. Just he was. So
I think she lucked out. Because, like, in California, if you get pulled over and someone in your car has something, it, like, automatically becomes yours.
You all go down.
Everybody goes down.
Is going that a down, Billy Joel song?
Going down now.
No.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
And we shall all go down together.
I like the Zeppelin better.
It's a Billy Joel song.
Going down. Going down now.
Okay.
It's not the name of the song, but
yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not Robert Plant. What do you want?
In Topeka, Kansas.
Topeka.
We're in Topeka, Kansas. A man who donated sperm to a lesbian couple is trying to force him to pay child support.
Oh, no, no. That's wrong.
Because the lesbian couple, they wanted to have a kid, so they advertised on Craigslist. He answered the ad. They met.
Oh.
They exchanged medical information. He signed a waiver absolving him of all responsibility, no parental rights, nothing.
How did he deliver the sperm?
Did he donate it?
He donated the sperm in a Tupperware container, and they administered it at home via a turkey baster baby.
It just doesn't sound like nearly as much fun.
Well, at any rate, so then the child is born. I mean, now all he did was get paid for his sperm, walked away. I mean, you know, and he's got a signed thing that says he's not financially responsible, whatever. Problem is, the kid's now 3 years old. The lesbian couple have split up, and the woman who has custody of the child was not the working part of that partnership. So she was temporarily on state aid, food aid, welfare, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her a total of like about $6,000 in benefits. Well, now they're trying to get that money from him as if it's child support because
it's back child support.
As if it's back child support, and cause him to give her future child support. She's not asking for the child support, but under the law in Kansas, if the artificial insemination was not done by a doctor, any agreement they made is null and void.
Ooh,
I've heard that.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Don't
why would that
do it, guys? Don't donate sperm.
Don't donate sperm.
And you know what?
Keep it to yourself.
Marty, can we agree if you're going to donate sperm, donate it the right way?
Right.
I mean, come on. First of all, it's a lesbian couple. It could be a fabulous event. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. And there's no way you can tell me that I went there with this because you brought up this news story.
Just because I don't think that's fair. I mean,
it doesn't sound fair.
It doesn't sound fair to me either.
But it's his sperm.
Yeah, but... What
it's
does
even
a doctor,
less fair that he didn't get to deliver it the right way.
Why does it make it any different because there wasn't a doctor involved? The end
I
result is the
know.
Same.
Matter of fact, if there was not a doctor involved, oh, well, you know, because they test them. I was going to say, you
DNA.
Can claim it wasn't mine.
I mean, if she were a single mother and they didn't know who the father was, the state would be out of luck anyway. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's what he gets for donating it.
I don't
it.
Know. Doesn't seem good to me.
I don't know. I think there's something fishy
Topeka,
about that.
Topeka, Kansas. Sheesh.
Okay, this is kind of a cool story. I love this one. In Winnipeg, Canada, there was a...
Dudley Do-Right.
They had a massive streak of random kindness.
A massive streak.
Yes, there's a... What's the place called? It's Timmy's. It's a branch of Tim Hortons, but it's like a coffee shop instead of an actual restaurant. It's just... You know, your drive-through type of place.
Okay.
And they call it Timmy's. December 21st, about 10 a.m., a customer in the drive-through line paid for the coffees for the people behind him as a random act of kindness. Well, when that person got up there and found out their coffees were paid for, they paid for the person behind them. That streak continued for 228 cars. People paying for the people
Who's
behind
the 229th
them.
Person? What a bastard.
I know.
What a bastard.
Seriously. It went on, and for hours this went on, and like the employees are getting all excited and jazzed, and you know, somebody called the news reporters.
The 229th guy?
Yes. Yes. He's a bastard.
And
3 hours this went on.
Yeah, until they went to pay and they found out the thing behind them was a tour bus with 265 people in it. We'd like 37 lattes, please. Oh, the person in front of you is paying for this. Really? I want 11 lattes. Yeah, I'll pay for the guy's single tall drink behind me.
Okay, and we have one more from Glades County.
Florida! From Fram.
A pilot, David Zentner, whatever, he has a small plane of his own, and he was out for a little pleasure cruise, you know, flying the friendly skies. He was on his way home. He buzzed over his home on the way to the airport and saw a man with a silver truck with a white camper in his driveway and a man looking into the windows of his home. So he got a little bit lower and, you know, to get a better view, realized the guy was trying to break into his house. So he radios the tower, says, call the police, gives them the address. You know, they call the cops. Then he, in the air, tracked the guy as he was trying to make
taking
a getaway.
Off.
And then, you know, radioed the information to the tower, who then told the cops what was going on. And that was how they caught him.
That's awesome.
Very good.
He should have strafed him.
I don't think he had that kind of equipment.
Oh, wow.
But the guy that
was... That would have made it a great story.
The guy that was trying to make the getaway actually didn't know that there was somebody in the air watching him. Just the cops all of a sudden showed up.
Clearly. The guy's like, how the hell did that happen?
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. I mean, what are the chances? A guy in a plane that happens to own the house you're trying to break in happens to be flying over your house and happens to see you. That guy, I'll tell you what. What was his name? David?
David Zentner.
That guy's got great eyesight.
Yeah, he must.
Great eyesight. I'd look over, I'd be lucky to see my house. This guy sees what kind of truck he's got. He sees him looking through the windows.
One in a million.
How many times do you think this guy drove or flew around in circles around his house? And I can't believe the guy didn't notice this after a while, because the guy must have been fairly low to see him. Guy's like, why is this plane flying around in circles over me?
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back. Welcome back, Marty.
I'm glad I'm here. I don't know the words.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
What are we calling this?
I don't know. The travesty of the wet one? I don't know.
The wet what?
The wet what?
The wet what?
Alcoholic.
Okay.
Wet alcoholic. Like, well, Shelley, give us
the
story
of the disgusting driveway.
Yeah, give us the story of how this happened, because this will be a lengthy intro to this topic. Because,
well, I was supposed to stay. I don't know what would have happened if I had stayed at work extra. I've been working late. Lately, until like 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. I usually get out at 3. Saturday, I was working my little fanny off in the morning, and I was exhausted. And I told Ronnie, I said, you know, I think I'm just going to work till regular time. So I go home at 3 o'clock. About 10 minutes after 3, a friend of ours, who has decided that he wants to go out and experiment in misery a little bit longer.
A guy that I formerly sponsored.
Yes.
And he even worked for me.
Yeah. Came lurching up the driveway at first, and he looked absolutely terrified and freaked out. And at first, I didn't recognize him, and then I went, and I said his name, and he flopped into the chair where you're sitting, Marty. And he was crying, he was hysterical, he was upset, and he smelled like a distillery. And when he was walking up the driveway, he was like trying, he had a bottle in his hand, he was trying to like sort of tuck it behind his leg, and then when he sat in the chair, he tucked it next to him, like hoping he was going to hide it from me, I think. And he told me that somebody was after, that the cops were after him. He'd had a fight with his wife. He'd just gotten out of jail. Apparently, he'd been in jail for a month.
So much fun.
On drug charges, and
really makes people want to go back and drink, doesn't it?
I'm going out tomorrow.
Drink and use.
Oh, and that's the thing that cracks me up when I'm telling him, you know, you need to get sober again. And he said, well, but this is my comfort zone. I said, how comfortable are you right now?
Oh. Yeah. Wow, we should almost call it the non-comfort zone.
Yeah, I was just, and he just kept saying over and over, you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like. I have to do this. I'm like, what do you mean I don't understand? I'm an alcoholic.
He was looking for some company.
Oh, I think so. And then he finally, after a while, he was starting to get really fidgety and like little bursts of anger. And I'm trying to think, okay, don't say anything that'll piss him off because I'm here alone and I don't want to get hurt. So I was a little bit freaked out. I was waiting for one of our friends to come by and help me out. And
because you called me.
Yeah, I called you right away. I was like, holy crap.
And let me interject something. I'm on the phone with this guy, and he's telling me, I mean, he's obviously hammered, and he's going through fits of crying and not crying. I don't know what to do. What should I do? And I said, what you should do is go check yourself into Charter Hospital. Tell him feel like committing suicide or something. Get a three-day hold. Get 3 days of sobriety in you away from drugs so that you can get a little bit of clear thinking, and then we'll see where to put you after that, you know. And I'll tell you, the one thing he kept telling me is he said, well, I had a thing that happened with my wife and my son over at the apartment, and they're going to arrest me. But I didn't put my hands on her. And I didn't put my hands on her, and he must have said that to me 7 or 8 times, and I thought, uh-oh.
How many times did he hit her?
Yeah, well, that's the first thing I thought of, because he was sure he was going to get arrested, and I told my buddy Mike, who's been on the show before, I'm like, Mike, I need you to go over to the house, and I need you to get him out of the house and try and get him to go to Charter or, you know, get him out of there, however. So go ahead, Shelly.
Well, no, I forgot where I was. Oh, and then he said, so he's starting to get fidgety and everything. And finally, he just pulls the bottle out and he said, I don't mean to disrespect you, but I got a drink. I got a drink. I'm like, well, do whatever you got to do. I mean, to me, I didn't want him to be drinking in my, especially not in my garage. I wasn't that thrilled about it. But at the same time.
You never drank in your garage, did you?
This garage
has. No, never.
This garage has seen more booze than the Chatterbox.
Chatterbox
is a bar.
A real dive bar too. Velvet sewer.
And so he proceeded to uncork the Hennessy and or screw off the top or
Hennessy.
Whatever. Oh my God.
High class.
And and he just kept repeating the same things over. He wanted to get sober. The best time in his life was the 4 months that he was hanging with us, and Bruce was his sponsor, and how awesome it was, and his kids really were respecting him, and he felt so wonderful. I'm like, so you can have that again. We can get that back. You can get back on track. And, you know, and he said, but the program doesn't work. I'm like, were you sober for 4 months? Yeah, well, then
it
was working. Something was working. He said, well, but then I went out. And I said, well.
That's because you stopped doing any program.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when he got off the phone with me, he didn't hang up the phone. So for like 15 minutes, I'm listening to all this conversation. I hear him say, because I told him, go to Charter. And he goes, I want to go back downtown. I'm like, dude, if you go back downtown, you're for sure going to get loaded. You know, he wants to go down to MacArthur Park or whatever. I'm like, dude, you're going to be smoking crack. You're going to be drinking. That's what you're going to do. You know that. That's what you do when you go down there. You need to go to Charter. So when he gets off the phone with me, I hear him go, Shelly, what should I do? And Shelly's like, you should go to Charter. And Shelly, I hadn't even told Shelly that I was telling her, you should go to Charter. He says to Mike, what should I do? You should go to Charter. No, I'm going to go downtown. And
I
I'm
need
like,
a program. I don't want a program. Well, he said shit, but it don't work.
So he's drunk and he wants to get sober, but he keeps drinking.
Yeah, and he's asking us what to do. I'm like, I only know.
Oh, and he's for sure been smoking crack, too, because that's his thing.
Oh, he admitted to it.
No, of course.
Having done it in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. So he's trying to cut the edge later.
I'm pretty sure he was holding when he was sitting there because he was, like, fidgeting with his stuff in his pocket. And he said, I could smoke. I could smoke right now. I'm like,
Go smoke off my property.
That I would not have been kosher. I mean, I wasn't really
kosher.
I'll say,
you know, there's a nice
drinking,
new
but...
park in Covina. They just redid it. It's got a lot of space in it. You could smoke there. It's right next to the
police station.
So then this guy, I told Mike, I said, Mike, I give you $20, put him on the train to downtown. You know, if he won't go to charter, I'm not interested in having him around here in the area. You know, I mean, I love the guy, but you know what? We got to do what we got to do.
Get out of town.
So Mike tries to talk him into charter sitting at the train station. I guess by this time the guy is getting sick, you know, and Mike has to physically help him get on the train.
And he was belligerent, too. He was going to take a swing at Mike.
And I can tell you, he didn't make it more than one or two stops, because all it takes is for you to start puking on the train, and they're going to for sure arrest him. So that's it. It's like the malady of the wet one. You know, it's like, you know, when you've got those guys that come in and they're like in the throes. They're in the throes and they're still, they know they need a beer. That's why they come over to where we are. But at the same time, not willing to do anything.
That's got to be an impossible task.
Yeah. What do you think, Marty?
Well, but for the grace of God, there go I.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think I've been in that position before, with my head over the toilet.
It doesn't work.
Out of money. Out of answers.
Out of money. Out of luck.
Out of everything. And out of my mind. And yet I've got another 12-pack in the refrigerator. And cocaine on the mirror. And it's just, it's not going to work. It's like pouring gas on my fire.
Ugh.
And jumping in right behind it.
We've had the occasion to have a couple loaded people over here. We had Shelly had a sponsee once that was over here as well.
Passed out on the futon.
Yeah, she went down the Alano Club, started stripping down in the parking lot.
Tried to.
She says,
I prevented that.
I can't be alcoholic. I've got 90 days. I mean, you got
you
don't even have a quarter of a day right now.
Well, you know, and that was actually really kind of an awesome situation, because her boyfriend, who's a normie, well, he's her husband now, but he's a total normie. He has no experience, didn't really know what AA was before, you know, they hooked up, or I mean, nothing. She has a relapse in front of his house. She's sitting in her car. She pulled up in front of her car and they opened the bottle and was drinking out there. He's like, he called me and he didn't know what to do, because he said, so I took her where they take the drunk people. That's why she was at the 502.
Oh,
jail? No, that's why she was at the Alano Club, because he said, well, she's drunk. I better take her where they take the drunk people. I was like, that is like some really clear thinking for like a normie that doesn't have any exposure really to this.
That's where I hang out.
Yes.
And then he called me and said, well, we're down here where they have the drunk people. I'm like, okay. So I went down and retrieved her, brought her home, threw her on the futon, waited till she sobered up, and took her to a meeting.
Now, for our friend, we shall call him Alex. What do you think about that situation, Marty? I mean, didn't really do anything different than we could have done.
I wouldn't have done it any different. I would have tried to get him off of my property. My main concern would be get him out of my space.
Yeah, when Shelly called me. Mike, go over there. I don't care if you take him to charter. I don't care if you put him on a train to downtown. But we got to have him out of there.
Yeah, he can't be in my space.
I was a little concerned about having a belligerent drunk here with me by myself. But at the same time, and this is how I put it to him, he's freaking out. He had no intention of calling Bruce, because all he wants to do is drink and drug. But he wants to get sober. He's running away from a situation where he's pretty sure the cops are going to be arriving. And he said he just ran out of the house in any direction. He saw the street sign, our street sign, and thought, I know somebody. And shows up in our garage. And I looked at him and I said, dude, you've been running for months and a street sign brings you here. Don't you think that's God saying, I've had enough of your crap?
Yep.
Gunshot.
Because he was pissed off. He's like, why am I sitting in this man's garage? And, you know, like going on. Why am I? And I'm like, because God wants you to stop. Nobody just looks at a street sign and then shows up at somebody's house for no reason. you know, and he, and that's, and so I'm sitting here thinking, this is not really a safe situation for me, but at the same time, God's put me in this situation, so what do I do?
And remember this, Shelley, we have two strapping young men next door.
That's true.
Both those guys are in awesome shape.
Awesome.
We got these two guys next door, they're really cool guys, and these guys are like always out in the garage, like working out and stuff. These guys are in fantastic shape. A couple screams out of you, they'd be here in a second. And my buddy Michael, not the lightest guy on the planet, but strong kid, 28 years old, 310 pounds.
Really strong.
And he almost knocked a heavy bag off once, giving it body shots, knocked it off the thing. So I'm like, Michael, get down there.
I think if I would have been here by myself, I would have made an attempt to help him, because that's what we do. We try to, we stay sober and we try to help people.
Yeah, we got tried.
But if we can't help them, we have to let them go. It's what it tells me to do in the books that I read about recovery.
Step over the bodies.
I don't know. The most amusing part of the day, though, was when Michael came back.
Yeah, oh my God.
He left his wallet with me when he went to take our friend away because he thought that might be a safe
good
thing
thinking.
To do.
Yeah.
So he comes back to get his wallet. And apparently the bottle of the half bottle, by then it was half. He drank half while he was
drinking. Drank half a bottle of Hennessy. What is Hennessy?
I don't know. I never tried it.
I think it's some kind of brandy or cognac or something.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
He left the other half of the bottle of Hennessy sitting on the table here. And I didn't notice it, actually. Because when they staggered off, I was like, phew. And I just like went back out to the computer because I needed to like decompress. And I didn't even notice it sitting there because at the time there were a bunch of Starbucks cups and crap
hey,
like that on the table. What?
How many drinks you take out of it before you went back on the computer?
Just one.
Zero.
Zero?
Just
I
one.
I didn't see it sitting there. I didn't even really think
look,
about
I
it.
Didn't. That's the only reason. I didn't see it or it would have been gone.
No, I wouldn't. And that's not what I mean.
And whatever Hennessy is, I think it's more of a sipping thing than a chugging thing.
Yeah.
And he was chugging.
He was chugging.
But so Michael comes back and the first thing Michael sees, he's like, oh, he left his bottle here. I was like, oh. And I didn't honestly really think about it. I'm on the computer. All of a sudden, this incredible odor invades the garage. And I look over and I said to Michael, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, we're sober. We don't need this hanging around. And he's pouring it out in the grassy part of the driveway. And I said, dude, have you never heard of a sink?
Yeah, especially since there's a sink, a utility sink.
Right there.
Behind
a foot and a half from where he picked up the bottle.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Couldn't you have just thrown the bottle in the trash?
Well, but then he says, well, but what's the diff? Oh, dear God. And he got a whiff of it. And then it was like this hysterical comedy routine with the two of us trying to figure out how to get the smell out of the driveway.
You know what? It was almost like zombie apocalypse. Because we looked, there were drunk guys walking down the street following their nose going, oh.
Exactly. Oh. It was the most incredible stench. We finally dumped a bucket of soapy water on it, and I prayed
now,
for rain.
That'll help the grass.
I prayed for rain, and guess what? It rained overnight. I laughed so hard when I got up this morning, and I was like, yes, it rained. It worked.
I come back last night. We went on a traveling group meeting. Actually, it was awesome. We went down to the Fullerton Alano Club. It was went to an awesome meeting.
And you didn't call me.
And I, you know what though? Next time, if you're around on a Saturday, we'll definitely call you because it was cool as hell. And we go, and we come back, and I'm back and it's like midnight. I come in and shut. I'm like, why does the driveway smell like booze? And I thought it might have been from him getting sick or something. You know,
no.
Why does it smell? She goes, well, Michael poured out the bottle there. I'm like, he didn't just throw the bottle in the trash can, like sealed up, down the sink, in the toilet. No. He poured it in the driveway. The great thing will be that smell will have permeated the underneath side of my truck, and I'll get pulled over. The guy will be like, dude, you been drinking? No. Truck smells like booze, man.
Out of the car.
Get out of the car, baby. So, Shelly.
Yes.
Working with the wet ones.
I don't know. Well, I've had a few.
What would your final words be?
Do what you can and leave the results to God.
Ooh. Wow. She took over Mark's spot with the quick zinger one-liner. I'm giving Marty extra time to think of his line. Marty, what are your final words on the working with the wet ones?
Well, my final words would be to attempt to help. But if it's not working, give it up.
I have to agree with both of you guys, and which is exactly what happened in this case. You know, you someone comes in, if they want help, you give help. This guy asked several times, what should I do? He got the same answer from three different people that didn't all know that the other ones were all saying it. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And at that point, you got to cut him loose.
Yep.
Yikes. So, Shelley.
Yes?
Someone goes online to hear us.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you're not listening to the show through Podomatic, if you could do that, that would be awesome. Go to recovery101.net, click on one of the stories. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. You have to click
Marty
like
first.
Marty
took over the sound effect.
Yes, he did. I heard that. You have to click like, actually, on the story. And that helps us with our numbers. We really appreciate that. If you're not a member, you should become a member. It's free.
And fun.
And fun, I guess. I've not been
there
in a while.
You can tell Marty listens to the show.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You can add us to playlists. You can friend us and get automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can leave topic suggestions. Leave them, please, in the topmost show so that Bruce can see it.
You can like back shows.
You can like old
shows.
And
you can comment old shows.
Right.
We encourage you to do that. Even if you've heard them before, you can like them and comment them. But if you're going to leave topic suggestions, leave it in the most recent show or I'm probably not going to see it. Or you can message us.
Or you can message us,
on,
yes.
On Podomatic.
And whatnot.
And whatnot. So, let's see how well Marty listens to this show. So, Marty.
Yes.
We have a friend back east.
That's Bruce.
The other white meat.
And he runs the 12-Step Gazette. He...
At
12stepgazette.com.
.com. And he... He
has franchises available if you're interested.
He does. If you'd like to have any of the copies of the 12-Step Gazette, you can contact him at 12stepgazette.com or on Facebook. He'll send you copies. If you've got a recovery home or something, he'll send you copies to strew about the place. If you'd like to have a franchise, I mean, you get it kind of turnkey. Some of the advertisers, I think, are national, and all is incumbent on you, really. It'll come with stories and everything is to... sell local advertising. God knows no one needs a job. And
there is money involved.
There is money involved, and you could make it work. You want to contact him. We've got email addresses for you to send your recovery idol MP3 to. You know, once again, record a song, make up a song. You can either do it a cappella, like the way Courtney's jingle is. You can do it with a guitar, with a piano, whatever. Send it in. It's got to have Recovery 101, Recovery 101 Radio, or Recovery 101 Radio Rule 62 in it.
Or a kazoo.
Don't take yourself too damn seriously.
That's right. If you want to send that in, send it to recovery101radio@gmail.com. We also have, you can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101, rule 62.
Don't take yourself too damn seriously.
Sweet Shelley.
Yes.
Who is the lead out music by tonight?
Evelove.
Evelove. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
I gotta go.
Oh, I take care of you.
Strip me away of all of my things, leave me with nothing to spare. Take all I have and leave nothing unturned, leave me with nothing but air. Take it away, I'm tired and I fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes I tried for too long, I'm letting go. Letting go of everything. Take it away from me. Take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of me. So I let it all go, just let it flow, to see where the story would end. After too many days spent lost and afraid, I'm finally ready to move on. So I let it all go, let it all go. I'm tired and I fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes I tried for too long. I'm moving on, moving on to better things. Take it away from me, take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of need. Take it away from me, take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there thank you.